If I could, I'd like to call to order the Monday, May 6th meeting of the Planning and Development Committee of Council. And the first order of business is approval of minutes from April 1st and a special meeting April 8th.
So moved.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? No? Okay. Next is public comments. And we have a time allotted for anyone to make public comments on any issue that they wish during this time. I know some of you are here for specific items, but if you would, go ahead and make your comments now so that we will have them by the time we get to the item that's on the agenda. So I'll ask, does anyone have any comments that they would like to make during this period? Pat? If you would go to the podium, give us 2 minutes of your your name and address, and 2 minutes, please.
Yeah, Pat Sullivan, 1002 Plantation Court. And item 5A on the agenda is about changing the zoning from CC to low-density residential on out in Theater Road. And it's in the comprehensive plan. It is zoned CC. And at the Planning Commission, I was there, and they were, that's pictures from Theater Road. Yeah, I drove out to Theater Road to take a look at it, and it's right next to the seaweed, I forget the word, but it's all trees. It's trees, 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 trees. And this developer wants to come in and get dense residential zoning in there, and I ask at a minimum, let's just keep it at community conservation, please, and not be changing the comprehensive plan the way we've been doing over and over again for years. Thank you.
Thank you, Pat. Ms. Mason.
Mark Mason, 465 West Coleman Boulevard. I'm here today as a neighbor to the Peach Orchard Plaza, and I'm speaking in favor of the redevelopment of that project. When I first saw what was presented in Charleston County as a massive storage facility, I was opposed, and I contacted the developers, and I expressed to them that I believe that they could do so much more with that property than they were proposing. And I think they've come, and they've now come up with a new, fresh design, and I'm in favor of it, and I hope you'll consider it. I particularly like the activity area that they've created on the ground floor, because that is an area that could be very vibrant and really needs that kind of activity in that location. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mason. Do I have anyone else? Yes, ma'am.
I'm Eve Smither. I live at 419 Bayview Drive, and I am also a neighbor of the proposed changes for Peach Orchard Plaza, and I'm also in favor of them being able to come into the city and make it a more vibrant activity zone, as Mr. Mason said, for our area. That was what the overlay was intended to do, was to get people out walking, shopping, eating, and I am in favor, and their previous work has been in good design. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Is there anyone else who would like to make a public comment? Going once? Okay. With that, we will move on to the rest of the agenda. And we have an employee years of service. Do you have that?
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the Planning and Development Committee. Have the privilege of recognizing Mr. Chris Hoover, who's our land codes inspector for 10 years of service to the town of Mount Pleasant. Of course, folks know that we have zoning laws and other rules and regulations, and most people know that communities have a zoning enforcement officer. They also know that they don't want to get visited by their zoning enforcement officer. So you might ask, what does our land codes inspector really deal with? Here are a few examples. Accessory dwelling units without approved permits, campers parked in driveways, changes to buildings without DRB approval, clutter and debris in yards, commercial vehicles parked in residential areas, fences in disrepair, illegal commercial uses or activities, illegal signs, inoperable vehicles, outdoor storage of goods, sheds or garages which violate setbacks, shipping containers and storage pods in front yards, temporary uses, violations of home occupation regulations, and yards with tall grass, weeds, and unmaintained conditions. Chris has been involved with hundreds of complaint responses, inspections, site visits, discussions, enforcement letters, and even court appearances, and he's put his mark on them over the past 7 years. He began his career with the town in public services in the facilities division and then transferred over into planning. And he serves as our only zoning code enforcement officer. So he handles the zoning code and even other parts of the town code. So suffice it to say that this is often difficult and stressful for all parties involved, and Chris gets way more complaints than he does attaboys. It's his job to make sure that the rules are followed, and he does an admirable job behind the scenes to make sure the quality of life in Mount Pleasant is maintained and nurtured. He also supports his peers in the planning department by legally posting all signs which give notices to the public for hearings and official town meetings. So while it's easy to adopt a new rule or requirement, he spends a lot of time in the community working with property owners and neighbors, explaining what can and cannot be done about certain situations, and then he takes the necessary steps to gain corrective actions. He also has to coordinate with other town departments and local governments to address certain issues, and not just Monday through Friday, because he's out there often on weekends, since illegal activities don't take the weekend off. So through all of his interactions and cases, Chris is thoughtful and methodical, always strives to take a common sense approach to his important enforcement duties. He's very empathetic and works towards successful resolution of many issues before ever needing to issue a violation ticket. Please help us recognize Chris Hoover as a dedicated 10-year employee of the town of Mount Pleasant.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chris. Thanks. You want to shake? Want to shake hands?
Thank you for all the work you do. Okay. And announcement: the town's being recognized for 2018 Tree City USA.
Yes, sir. It's a recognition from the Arbor Day Foundation. It is Mount Pleasant's 30th recognition, I believe. And the program was started in the 1970s. More than 3,000 cities and towns in the United States are recognized as tree cities. And you have to meet certain requirements, like having a department or a board that works with trees, and probably most importantly, a tree ordinance. And you all know that we've got one of those, and probably one of the most robust ordinances that deals with protecting and preserving trees in our community. So just wanted to share that with you all and the community.
I think that's great. The town does have a lot of people and time involved in trees, so that's good. Thank you. Okay. With that, we start on number five, the Planning Commission recommendations.
Yes, sir. 5A is a rezoning request to rezone six parcels on Theodore Road from Community Conservation, the CC District, to R2 Low Density Residential.
Move to deny.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any discussion? All those in favor signify of denial signify by saying aye.
Aye.
opposed? Okay. That's a recommendation of denial to full council. Okay, B.
5B is 1081 Johnny Dodds Boulevard, and it is a request to rezone one parcel from a PD designation to AB, area-wide business. It is located here at the on the way north, just before Bowman, on the right side there, next to the older shopping center. It was part of an original PD that covered several parcels in this area, but they've since, most of them, other than this one and one other, have been rezoned to other districts already. It's in the overlay for the Johnny Dodds Boulevard, and then you see the commercial AB2 in red across the street, and then the gold signifying AB commercial zoning entirely around this property. And so the request is to be able to take it out of the PD and move it into area-wide business, and it would still have to meet the Boulevard Overlay District. The other remaining parcel under item 2 at some point would be recommended for that to be changed as well, because now you have a planned development district of one parcel that doesn't have a mix of uses. This area no longer meets the true definition of a planned development district. Mm-hmm. The designation is for urban corridor. The property, AB, fits within that designation, and the property is within the 55-foot height limit in the Boulevard Overlay District. And the Planning Commission recommended approval of that, this rezoning request.
Okay, do we have any questions, Ms. Thomas? Do we have a motion?
I'll make a motion for approval.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion to approve, recommend approval to full council. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, recommendation of approval. Okay, and Charlie?
Item C deals with properties located at 860 and 862 Coleman Boulevard, and the request is to remove these two parcels from the Coleman Boulevard Overlay District. The properties would then stay with their existing area-wide business AB base zoning district. Planning Commission recommended denial of this request at their last meeting by a vote of 7-0. Here's the property located for you, kind of in near the split with Ben Sawyer and Chuck Dolly and Camellia, right there at the intersection.
Is that where the gas station is?
Yes. Existing gas or auto repair and car wash, old car wash facilities right there on the corner.
Being in the overlay district, it's more expansive than zoning rules than it is to not be in the district. Is there a reason why they want out?
Yes. Their particular request is for the use that they're interested in doing. It would not be something that would be kind of moving in line with the overlay in terms of a mix or the activity center. They've discussed the possibility of a car wash, so new and improved, but it would remove the various overlay requirements and the design and activity zone requirements and those kinds of things that you would have, that the property would have to would be under today. So they would be asking for them to take the property and remove, pull back the overlay district on this case. But as we've lined out here, the purpose and intent of the objective of the Coleman Boulevard are more pedestrian uses, public spaces, a mixture of uses, not only along the corridor, but within developments themselves. The comp plan and the draft comp plan still call for this kind of development activity. So, again, they would be removing it in order to be able to do uses that are allowed under the base district rather than within the overlay.
Move to deny.
Second. By matter of discussion, that area looks a little unkempt.
Chris already left, didn't he?
Yeah, where are we with that?
We'd have to check. I mean, based on the zoning and the other activities, we have to go in and do an investigation and look to see, are they violating anything that you wouldn't expect at auto repair or those kinds of activities. But we can add that to our list and take a look at it.
Please do. Okay, we have a motion. Do we have any more discussion?
Yeah, please. So reading through the Planning Commission minutes of this item, there really wasn't a lot noted there from the applicant. Is the applicant here? We'd just like to hear from the applicant if they're here. Okay, so much for that. That's all I have.
Mr. Orr?
No comment, sir.
Okay. Okay, we have a motion to deny. It's been seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Okay. It's a recommendation of denial. And we'll... Okay. Peach Orchard Plaza. Now, does this cover a couple of items?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
So it'll deal with, one, annexing and zoning four parcels that are now in unincorporated, excuse me, Charleston County. It would rezone two parcels that are within the town already from AB to AB2, so they would all have AB2 zoning. And then the request includes an amendment to our official height map, which would allow up to 60 feet in building height for all of these parcels. Planning Commission recommended denial of the request for the commercial 4-3 and unanimously recommended denial of the request to increase the height to the 60 feet. And so here's the annexation description. The property located here, and as we describe it, you're within that sort of area enclosed by Coleman on one side and Broadway looping around all of these properties towards the south, southeast. It is within the commercial overlay areas and designated on the comp plan for continued use in such fashion. And then you see to the left the two parcels that are already within the town, that and that one, already in and zoned. And then these are the four separate parcels that are unincorporated, which would be annexed under the annexation request, and then the zoning request applies to all six parcels of land. Here's a close-up. We also have flood zone information here, and as it relates to this property and building heights and the way that development could occur on the site. This is a concept plan that the applicants have shared, which describes the uses that would be located on part of this development with retail and future development fronting on Coleman Boulevard with a height limit of 45 feet. And then this is an earlier drawing that would have self-storage, storage uses, and other future development, which would be to the rear towards Broadway, and hence the request for taller buildings, taller heights on that portion of the property. So as you're aware, this is a an island of county land surrounded by properties all within the town. We've described the request itself. It is known as Peach Orchard Plaza. It is proposed for mixed-use development, so you can, it would, their proposal would meet our standards and requirements for a mix of even non-residential uses as well as residential if they propose some. The application, as many of our rezonings do, don't identify specific uses. So you are looking at whether or not AB2 is the appropriate zoning for this parcel with the boulevard overlay taking care of design and other aspects of it. Self-service storage facilities are allowed in the zoning district. And there are as a conditional use, but the conditions are limited in terms of outdoor activities as R2, and then you're not selling and running a retail operation out of a self-storage facility. Again, here the comp plan recommends the new plan recommends community commercial and continues the overlay concept. And we also continue to talk about development that would be, say, two stories in height, but increases in height would be appropriate if you stair step or step the building back, and that's what these applicants are proposing to do. Their increase from on the height map would change the current designation of a limit of 45 feet to 60 feet. All along the Coleman Boulevard overlay, the height limit is 45, except for two other locations, Moultrie Plaza and Sea Island, which have 55-foot height limits. Their application did talk about increasing to 80 feet so that they would be able to incorporate any future cell tower facilities, but our code already allows you to add 30 feet of telecommunications facilities to the height of an existing structure. So they really don't need 80 feet, and so their application really is for that 60-foot height limit. And this does not require an impact assessment due to the nature of the uses, and as you're aware, design review would be required for any development on this site. And as some folks, as you're aware, this has gone through a county review process, but halted at that stage while they consider annexation and developing within the town of Mount Pleasant. So that's a description for you on that rezoning request, multiple facets of it.
Okay. I thought there had been some discussion of going to 40 feet back from the curb of Coleman Boulevard, and then for the step up going to 55. Okay, so from Coleman Boulevard, correct. So this is a little off here.
So they would be reducing that request or adjusting the request to take it from the 45 to 60 and do 40 to 55?
Yeah.
Is that the thinking? From Coleman.
Please, so that there's no misunderstanding.
Thank you. My name is Rusty Benn, and I represent the applicant. All of our discussions, all of our intentions from the beginning has been to build up to 45 feet fronting on Coleman Boulevard, step back 40 feet from there till you step up 10 feet to 55 feet through to Broadway. When the engineers first met with staff, there was apparently some confusion as to where you measure the height from, and the property is sloping backward toward Broadway. So in abundance of caution, they recommended asking for 60 feet, which is measured from Broadway. But to be clear, and we plan to amend our application after the first reading because we can't amend it now because it's already in process. You were sent an email, I believe, which described that clarification. And that would read, again, 45 feet on Coleman, step back 40 feet, up to 55 feet back to Broadway, as all measured from Coleman Boulevard. So 55 feet has been the height we've always anticipated building to. It was just the slope of the actual ground that caused an abundance of caution to say, well, if we have to measure from the back, it may be 60 feet. But 55 feet from Coleman is what we're asking for.
Does anyone have any questions for Mr. Bennett?
I don't have questions for Mr. Bennett.
Okay.
I have comments if you want any. But
okay. Well, let's.
Mr. Chairman, yes. We may need to continue discussions with staff and applicant to make sure we sort those requirements out. The Boulevard Overlay District has very specific requirements for how building height is measured, so we would want to make sure that meets what the overlay sets forth. It actually takes you to building corners, so you measure the height of the building from an average of the building corners, and every 25 feet along any facade that is fronting on a street. So it's a pretty complicated formula within the code that gets at the height determination. So we would just want to make sure that we're able to meet that requirement.
And whatever your staff says the number needs to be, but as a practical matter, I want you to know it's 45 feet step back, 55 feet as measured from Coleman. That's the practical implication in four stories of use. All right. However the staff says, if it needs to be 57 or whatever it is, I want you to know that that's what our intention is as far as the structure itself is concerned.
Okay. Thank you very much, sir. Okay. And this, after first reading, would be when those amendments would and could be made, depending on council. Okay.
First.
Yes, sir.
I wanted to comment that I haven't studied all the projects that have come before me like this one, but I do have a pretty good understanding of it. There are the reason that I will vote yes for this is not so much in what I like about it, but what the alternative would be if we don't get this. And I just worry about 5, 7, 10 years from now driving down Coleman and seeing something that's unsightly there, and know that if that was going to happen, it would be because of something that we didn't allow. And I hope it's not 1 foot, 2 feet, 5 feet. If we drive down Coleman right now and we turned our head, we're not going to know the difference between 5 extra feet anyway. But I think the project has merit. But I do want to say this as my last comment as the finance chair of this body. If a storage facility is built in the county on that site, this town generates $0. If this development gets to go through and it's approved, then the town gets to benefit from the tax base forever. And I think that's something that that we need to pay attention to also. So those are my comments.
Okay. Thank you very much. Yes, ma'am.
I just want to clarify that in the amendment, it'll be clear, because you were talking about the height being for the entire parcel, but they're talking about it being lower at the front and higher in the back. And so would that be a specific as the zoning or the change is written so that we can ensure that height limitation?
Yeah, that's what we'll have to work with. Okay. It may even entail a graphic or something that we could include within so that it's really clear what the numbers or the limitations would be.
So I was at the Planning Commission during this presentation. Y'all did a great job presenting this project. I know it was denied by the commission, but I think there were some points that they emphasized some different things about the project, and perhaps we will. But typically with these rezonings, the question really becomes, is this the proper place for AB2 zoning? And I think in this case, for me, it probably isn't because of all the different things that are allowed under AB2, but knowing that these folks have a vision for this project, and as far as I can tell, it's not a hotel and those sort of things, but it's a reasonable, attractive project. I think in this case, you know, zoning is what drives a lot of our development, but also has to be some flexibility to make sure that we get the best product for the town. And I think the product that's being presented here is a much better product than currently approved under the county. So given that, I think approval of this will give Mount Pleasant a better building product for us.
And is there anything else?
No, sir.
For my part, I think Mr. Bennett's willingness to come forward and work with the town, talk to the town, and request annexation into the town with the zoning is a wonderful thing. I think it's going to be a good project. I think it's going to be an asset to the town of Mount Pleasant. And we struggle all the time with what might be, and we have a good feel for what this will be. So do I have a motion?
I'd like to make a motion for approval based on the meeting with the developers and Jeff in the we'll have that by Tuesday, won't we, before the by the council meeting before the first reading?
You should be able to do that.
Yeah. That will help, I think. So I'd move for approval.
Clarification, is this motion for the annexation?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay, this is the annexation motion. Okay. I'll second that motion.
Okay, we have a motion for annexation, to recommend annexation to full council. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, and now we have, and we've discussed the heights, and there are some maps that are going to have to be adjusted. And as Jeff has said, probably going to have to do have a graphic so everyone can get a good visual of this. Is there any more discussion? Do I have a motion?
Move for approval of item E.
Second.
We have a motion and a second for approval of item E to full council. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Recommendation of approval to full council. Thank you very much. We'll move on now to item six. Thank you for coming. Yes, sir. Thank you. Okay. Well, let's wait just a moment. How you doing, John? Good. Okay, continued discussion of hotel self-storage facilities and zoning regulations.
Yes, sir. We've provided some background information to you thus far, sharing information at prior committee meetings about the status of our hotel development in the town of Mount Pleasant with number of rooms and map the various locations, showing you some. The ones, again, in green are already existing, and the ones in gold are under construction. Zooming in a little bit more on this end of town, and then moving up to sort of the central part of the community, you see the extent of hotels located within Mount Pleasant. We've shared our zoning regulations and requirements for the different types of districts, and we've also given you a little bit of background or information from other communities about how they regulate hotels. This topic was included some time ago by committee and council to be discussed, the location of hotels discussed as part of the comprehensive plan. And so one of the things that was purposefully accomplished was looking at this as a use, and it'll tie to your next discussion about the comp plan itself. But one of the things that have been recommended in the plan is that in certain town scale or community scale hubs or centers, from a land use perspective or a spatial perspective, that's what the new plan would suggest where hotels be located. We also shared some financial, tax, and other considerations from accommodations and similar taxes. A little of the same kind of information was provided for self-storage as a separate use. So a couple of fairly new ones and one that was completed. Here, too, you can see the distribution of such facilities within town. And then moving further up Highway 17. And self-storage, that's the conditions that we mentioned in the prior case in terms of if it's a conditional use in AB2, what requirements have to be met. So we gave you last time some options or alternatives, whether to make it a permitted hotels or self-storage permitted uses by right, to move it to more of a conditional use, so you would set a series of development standards and requirements, and if an applicant could meet those, then it would move through administratively, or it could be treated as a special exception use. And staff's recommendation was that we go with a conditional use approach, laying out various requirements where you might say these uses, if they meet these in terms of, say, parcel size or design or layout or those kinds of things, we'd be able to build those into the code up front. But we need some more So at that discussion last time, that seemed to have some merit, but there's also continued discussion for maybe a continued mechanism or a different mechanism for council to be able to address these individually. And that won't work in a conditional use setting and environment. And on the flip side, self-storage seemed to be less of a concern as a use, maybe having some design or aesthetic concerns, but less, it seemed, in terms of location. So we need a bit more direction from you all as a group on where we ought to head with this. What are the design requirements, or what are the characteristics of either hotels or self-storage buildings that we would need to beef up? We've looked at more at how other communities regulate these, and pretty much their commercial uses and activities, and they don't distinguish or have special zoning districts for hotels. It's just part and parcel of what happens within those kinds of locations. And as we keep going back and looking, our hotels seem to be where you would expect hotels to be located. They're not in the middle of a neighborhood or imposing on some residential area. And so we couldn't come up with a whole lot of examples of the kinds of requirements that we might want to incorporate. If a new district were the approach, we believe, and I think you all have said that, maybe it ought to be broader than just hotels, but perhaps being more of a hospitality or a tourism support district. Some communities have that. And finally, if the concern really for hotels is the number, then I'm not sure that where we're headed is going to get us there, and maybe we need an entirely different way of dealing with the number of hotels versus a number of requirements that could probably be met, and then you'd still be dealing with the number in the future. Finally, for both of these uses, having some sort of purely discretionary setup where it's, you know, up to council or up to BOZA just to say, well, I think this is a good location or that's not a good location. From a planning and a legal perspective, we just point out that that could be problematic. So with that additional setup, yeah, we're just looking for some more guidance from you as a committee.
Well, going back to the original intent, and it was mine, was not to have a piece of property that was zoned, let's say, AB, where a hotel is allowed. And a developer say, I want to put up an office building. And then come back and say, you know what? I don't want an office building. I think I want to put a hotel now. I want to put a hotel there. And that type situation would require the developer to come back to this council to say, I'm changing this from a Class A office building to a hotel. Because right now, as I understand it, they could do that, and they wouldn't have to consult with anyone. They could just do it.
Meet the design review.
Right. And then we would wind up just like Charleston is, because that's happened several times in Charleston, and now they're having to put together a task force to look at hotels. And I'm hoping that this would prevent that, because we would already have a mechanism in place to come back, and town council may say, yeah, that's great, right? Yeah, if you want to put a hotel there, that's fine. But we may not, because of the number of, now in downtown Charleston, it's the number of hotels. And we may find ourselves in, we have plenty of hotels, but we have this piece of property that the developer says is properly zoned for an office building and a hotel, but now he wants to put a hotel, and we can say, well, we really don't need a hotel. And he could say, and rightfully so, I really don't care, and put it up there. I just want something that says that it has to come back, and we get a cut on whether it's should be a hotel or not. And we have had instances where hotels were put right next to neighborhoods. I remember years ago, there was a hotel that they wanted to put in Brickyard.
Entrance.
Yeah. And there was no doubt what the residents wanted in that situation. and it's not there now. But we flirted with a lawsuit. I think we were sued. I think we were sued.
That's right.
For that. But if we had had this, where they had to come back and look, we could have said no and not faced a lawsuit. So, you know, y'all have done a terrific amount of work, and it's really good. But, you know, it's just something in there where hotels and storage units have to come back.
And as far as we've researched and looked, we haven't – that ability, once you've zoned it, requiring somebody to come back and re-rezone it for another use within that same district, it's going to have to be a separate zoning. We're going to have to create a different zoning district. Somebody might come in and get AB and say, I want to build a hotel – I mean, an office building. And then later when they change their mind and say, no, I'd really rather do a hotel, if council wants the ability to review that – then they would need to come through another rezoning to a different district. And so that's where you would pull out, parse out those uses into its own or a separate district in order to give you that capability, because it wouldn't exist sort of making them come and ask for another approval once the zoning is already granted. The only way to do that would be special exception, and that would be Board of Zoning Appeals. So these uses would be special exception uses going to the Board of Zoning, but it wouldn't come to council. So we understand where you want to go. Getting you there is our difficulty, and probably then is a separate district. And if somebody wants these uses, that's what – if it allowed two uses, you'd know it was going to be one or the other.
What about on commercial properties, zoned properties that you put in overlay – a hotel overlay on top of that, which has more requirements, like we do in any other overlay. But so if you're on a commercial piece of property and you've got that zoning, but you want to do a hotel, then you have to meet the additional overlay requirements in order to be able to. So it's kind of like a conditional use, but an overlay could have things like architectural requirements as well as maybe some parking or other sort of requirements on top of that. And perhaps they have to come back through another review of some sort to get that either – put an overlay on it or have a special AB-H zoning, which is strictly for hotels or hospitality. So I think those may be two ways that are very similar to what you're talking about, but I think the overlay would provide you with some, maybe some more ways to put additional requirements on there so that if somebody did want to change from an office building to a hotel, they may or may not be eligible to do that based on the overlay.
And then the question becomes whether you map that overlay in advance or it floats and just appears as an applicant decides to move forward. So is it pre-mapped? Then you would have to know where you want it to occur. Or is it something that somebody would ask for in conjunction with their base zoning district? And probably it would, we'd set it up that way, I would think.
You would never hear me say zoning and floating in the same sentence again. Just for the record. In terms of the storage units, I don't know if anybody here can answer this question, but I'm just curious whether there is a standard for number of storage units per population. I'm not sure whether we have too many of them or not. Or it seems to me the biggest concern about storage units is the aesthetics, where they're located on major roadways as opposed to having too many of them. Because I'm not really interested in limiting the number of those, but perhaps we don't need to have them right up on major thoroughfares. So that's kind of where my issue is maybe placement. But if we need 20 storage units for 80,000, 84,000 people, then maybe we need that. But maybe they don't have to be in prominent places.
Not familiar with a standard. I would assume a lot of that would come from the market itself.
Yeah, and then there's some market studies that say per 10,000, you might need X number of units, but I'm not sure that we have too many of those. Maybe we do, maybe we don't, but that would be an interesting thing to see. But
perhaps that requirement for hotels, not floating, but put on areas that are that look like hotels. They could be hotels that would give us the opportunity, or at least prescribe some things that are not required for office buildings, but would be required for
hotel or storage.
Yeah. Is that enough to work on?
I think that gives us, make sure we're moving in the right direction. So we should be able to pull something together now for your next committee meeting.
Okay.
Yeah, and one thing that I saw missing on there, too, was it talked about town center being a hub for these hotels. But, again, I think we've got a concentration of those also along the Isle of Palms connector. And I think that makes sense for us to take a look at hotel spaces that are nearer to the beach, honestly. I mean, people are coming to Mount Pleasant because it's accessible to the Isle of Palms. It makes no sense to have more all the way up 17 or all the way down by the bridge. It makes sense to put them near the beach. So perhaps that's another area we can look at.
Yes, sir.
I'm not a very detailed person, for those that don't know that. But when I hear this discussion, us discuss things like, do we have too many hotels or storage facilities, I wonder where that discussion stops. Banks, drugstores, there's a lot of things. And I guess I haven't been around long enough to know if, you know, the reason hotels scare us. I think a hotel in a bad spot scares us, but hotels help pay the bills around here, actually. And I just worry a little bit about where the discussion goes, because we've chosen these two industries, to when we get into the discussion of are there too many of those or too many of those. It sounds like driving around the town with my wife. You know, when she says, why are we putting that there? It's like, we don't have a choice. It's zoned that way. And so I refer back to zoning, and that's what we have. And I think I quote you all the time. All we have is zoning. But we do have more than zoning. But I'm just saying that I think that if we do this, we may keep doing it. And there may be more discussions about another industry or another thing. So that's just my two cents on it.
Okay.
Good answer.
Okay, so y'all got it. You got it?
Yes, sir.
Okay, we'll see you next month. Okay, next is a discussion of draft comprehensive plan issues and concerns.
Liz.
Now, as I recall, at council last month, full council wanted us to look at a way that we could kind of divvy things up and decide how we were going to look at all of this and make recommendations. And that may be that we have to send a portion to every committee of council to work in their particular areas. So I think this is going to be kind of a big nut to crack. And it's going to have to be done correctly, because if you want it bad, you get it bad.
And that's what we've prepared, is hopefully a strategy that will allow, that staff would put together, that would allow you to think about how you want to move through the discussions.
Super. How are you, Liz?
I'm great, thanks. How are you, Mr. Good. Assist?
I was doing better than have to be twins.
All right. Okay. So what we we're looking at was to try to identify, just kind of, you know, okay, yes, we need to work through this, and there are obviously issues that we need to talk about. First thing we did was try to identify those issues, make sure that we had a handle on the bigger issues that seemed to be of concern to council. So we've got a couple slides of these, so if you don't see your favorite one up there yet, don't worry. So we've got the hubs, the idea of drainage and flooding, whether that's, you know, sea level rise, water coming down, and everything in between, things that make the land, usually dry land, wet. Flexibility and adaptability of the plan, I think that was you, Mr. Bremer, that we were talking about, wanting to make sure that it does what we want it to do. And then hazard management. These were four of the ideas that between Planning Commission recommendations and your discussion in previous meetings, those were four things that popped out. And just to make sense of all the little stuff that all runs together after that, we started going through just kind of pulling the different pages and sections of the plan that address those different items, just to hopefully make it easier for you as we start moving forward with this. Okay, let's see. These are good starting points to look at where can we find information on these different topics. So that's what all that's about. You don't need to read it all right now, and I'm certainly not going to read it to you. Other issues, we had those four. Then we have financial health and resiliency. As you know, Mr. O'Rourke has been talking about some of that here today with some other issues, how all that relates to one another. The unincorporated areas, we've talked a good bit about the settlement communities, and I think that's something we want to continue, you know, making sure we've got that right. And then the whole idea of special area plans seems to worry a lot of people about what that means and what are we going to do with that, and are we punting something we should be deciding on right now? And so, you know, just kind of looking at what that means and what we can do with that and what that will do for us as we move forward with this whole setup. So those were the seven kind of big issues that we had pulled out. There might be, certainly, I would imagine there might be others that we will need to add to this list. I'm looking for feedback from y'all as to what those might be. It doesn't have to be right this minute. But so those are the things that we're, you know, kind of have queued up to begin our future discussions over, okay, here's where what the plan says now, this is where it came from, and, you know, what do we want to do with it? So if using these seven issues just as a starting point, if you will, we've talked about trying to put together presentations for you, possibly other committees, depending on the topic. The financial resilience perhaps might be more appropriate in the finance committee, for instance. But putting together kind of as a discussion format for these different topics, this sort of information related to each one. The thought is that we could perhaps, you know, at a future meeting, let's just pick on hubs because we like picking on hubs. You know, we'll bring back a presentation on hubs specifically that'll follow this sort of format. So we'll start off with a basic description of the issue. You know, what's a hub and why are we talking about this and where did it come from and how is it in the plan? Why is this relevant? You know, just kind of to make sure we're all on the same page as we start the conversation. We could put together also some information, you know, maps, data, whatever's relevant, you know, to that particular issue. Hubs, you've got both. You've got geographic locations that are recommended in the plan, and then you've also got, you know, specific revenue information that goes along with that that is kind of tied into why they're being recommended. So we'd put together information like that for you related to the individual topics just to, pardon me, make sure that, you know, we've got all the good information out there. We could put together a list of pros and cons. What you know, the pros would probably be, this is why it's in the plan. These are the things that the plan forum, the planning commission talked about as to why this was recommended. And cons, you know, could be what we've heard, you know, on the other side, you know, why we don't like this perhaps, or what are the potential pitfalls that we might need to deal with on this particular issue. You know, I think it's fair for any of these issues to look at, you know, look at both sides of the question, see what, make sure that we're moving in the direction we intend to move. So after that, we could provide some potential revisions. You know, how could, you know, based on what we've heard with the pros, you know, what we know with the pros and cons and everything, what might we do to try to address some of the issues that have been raised? And, of course, any other discussion points that you want to talk about related to the various issues. You know, is this something we need to get into or not? So the thought is, if it sounds good to y'all, kind of a process like that, walking through from what's in the plan, you know, the recommendations to the data behind it, to the pros and cons and to the questions and the possible ways we could revise if we need to, that particular issue within the plan. Does that sound like a good process to y'all for each of these issues? I guess is question number one. Is there something we're missing? Is there something else that you might think that you would need? Yes, sir.
I have a few things. I think one thing that is missing, in my opinion, was like quality of life issues, whether that would be trail systems or parks and open space or anything like that. And I call it a quality of life. I don't know. I just made that word up. I didn't make the word up, but
Is that missing as an issue?
That's what I thought.
Okay,
I thought it should be a specific issue. I also, another thought I had was, I think it's not a bad idea to let other committees than us handle it. There may be committees better than us to handle some of the issues. I think that would be good. And the third thought that I had was, this is going to sound really bad, but I don't mean it to be bad. Public input meeting day, this whole process was a two-year-long issue of public meetings. It's now, I feel like it's on our desk to solve. So I think public information of, but if we do the work now that we have it, and then we go back to a public meeting, and the public meeting says, change our mind, I think we want to go this way or that way, we may never finish, you know? I mean, this was a two-year public process. And it was dropped on our lap, and I feel like we have to now figure out those things. And a fourth thing, I think we're going to have to see if we can put numbers to this. What will these things cost us if we move into certain areas, too, by the time we're done? That's my comments.
Well, to be certain, we'll move those items to the Finance Committee.
Yes.
Oh, you don't want that one?
Yeah, as they used to say, action past is action complete. So, okay.
Jim? Bob? Do you want to weigh in?
No, we'll let you chew. No. So 2 to 3 topics per meeting might be a little ambitious, depending on how busy the Planning Commission is, Mr. Brin. But but certainly starting taking bites of the apple as we go along, I think, is good. One thing we haven't discussed here yet that I think is pretty important and will probably impact our discussions in a variety of ways is the transportation plan that was recently updated. That was done in conjunction with the comprehensive plan, but we haven't really heard about how we're going to review and discuss the transportation plan and where it intersects with the comp plan. So has that been something of your discussion about how to address that part of it?
It's one we could add.
It's certainly one we could add as an issue. I mean, the two were, as you well know, developed in concert with one another, so they rely on one another, throughout. That would certainly be something that we could potentially take to the Transportation Committee.
Doesn't that plan have to come back to council anyway for approval or not?
It's part of the same plan. It's all.
It's just not something that's part of here, so I just...
It's the mobility element, is the transportation plan.
So that's the long-term transportation plan.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I think that needs to be a separate item. Given our transportation challenges, we think we really need to take a closer look and have a discussion about what's added from that plan, what's taken away, where we are sort of in currently. So we could just add that.
Sure.
Okay. Is there a... So I think taking what you all said and let's kind of get it carved out and we'll start on it. We need to start on next month and start getting this thing rolling.
So maybe we won't be so ambitious with 2 or 3 topics, but we can call it comprehensive plan summer camp. So we'll work through it through the course of the summer. Yeah.
And that's not to say we can do 1.5
right.
items and then we just continue the discussion
We'll get out ahead of that and have the materials prepared, and then we can adjust as time permits.
Yeah, because if we leap through 2 of them and we have extra time, we want to have leave to go into the next stuff.
I would also not, sorry staff, but maybe not preclude special meetings throughout this process, perhaps even in the evening, to allow since there are open meetings for the public, if public did have an interest at least observing the meetings, that they'd have an opportunity to do that. So I'm not saying every other week we have an evening meeting, but perhaps a couple of those interspersed would be good.
Well,
that would focus only on this item and not have to worry about all the Planning Commission items as well.
Yeah, as Mr. O'Rourke is sometime want to say, this is going to be hard.
It's going to be hard.
It's going to be hard.
But important.
Yeah, I agree. And if, you know, one thing while we're keeping pace, I agree.